Hey, and welcome back to Future Thinkers. So today we're going to talk about the new Joker film with Joaquin Phoenix. This film is an extremely timely and relevant commentary on what is happening in the Western world right now. The mass shootings, the epidemic of mental illness, the incels, the grief and anger that people are feeling, which is manifesting in these climate protests. There are so many patterns that are described symbolically in this movie that are very relevant to real life right now. And in many ways, this film is a warning. And we wanted to do a commentary on what can be done about these feelings that are arising in a lot of people and the patterns of behavior shown in the film. So I hope you guys find this interesting and useful. And let's jump straight into it.
Hey, and welcome to FutureThinkers.org, a podcast about the evolution of technology, society, and consciousness. I'm Mike Gilliland.
And I'm Yuvia Ivanova. If you're new to the show and you want to get a list of our favorite books, popular episodes, and to join our community, go to FutureThinkers.org/start.
All right, we just got back from seeing The Joker in theater, and we've got some thoughts that I think relate quite a bit to the subjects we've been talking about lately. Definitely to do with the Jungian archetypes that we've covered in depth in the past.
The sovereignty, shadow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So overall thoughts, let's start there.
Well, and it's also a huge commentary on what's happening in the world right now, in particular in certain parts of the West. And I think it speaks to a lot of people and how they feel about what's going on and the kind of bubbling up emotions that they might feel about it.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, the thing that really stood out to me right at the, you know, right after watching the movie is how much empathy I felt for the character. Because it's not surprising that he would, you know, burst out that way after everything that he's been through.
I suppose now's the time that we should say spoiler warning.
Spoiler warning, yes.
So, yeah, the movie is very ambiguous. People are looking for meaning in it. They're looking for its intention. And I think they're projecting their own kind of their own need for that meaning onto the movie. I just watched a review from a guy that said this is like another Hollywood cash grab and that they're trying to force the Joker to do things that he wouldn't normally do. And what else did he say? I forget.
He said that the Hollywood has an agenda and a message that they're trying to push.
Yeah. And I didn't feel like I felt like they left it purposely ambiguous, which is actually true in the end of the movie. You don't know what's true and what's not. There's no moral kind of high ground that it takes, or there's no low ground either. It's not necessarily saying that getting vengeance on the rich is the way to go. It's really just letting you kind of make your own interpretation of where the Joker went wrong. And where he went right. So let's dive in there. There are a lot of circumstances and events that came together to put him into these precarious situations. So my reaction to this movie was I really loved it. I thought it was brilliantly executed. How ambiguous everything was, I really enjoyed that. I usually hate ambiguity in movies. I want to know what the storyteller meant. But I mean, it's a Joker movie. It's kind of supposed to leave you guessing and not sure what actually the meaning was. It didn't really take a side either way of whether the Joker's actions were right or wrong. And a lot of people are criticizing it right now for that reason, saying like this whole message of fight the rich, take down the rich, the oppressed masses should stand up. I mean, that's kind of the story that has to be there for Joker, I think. You know, it's him versus, I would say, culture. Him versus Western public.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they did that flawlessly. They executed that so perfectly. They gave so many circumstances that he had to make decisions in, and he made decisions that anyone would find really difficult. So let's start with the subway scene. I think that's a good scene to dive into. At that point, he's already off of his medication. He is he just loses his job, and he's got this laughing disease where he can't stop laughing when he feels uncomfortable, and then he attracts the attention of these three drunk guys, and they start kicking the shit out of him. And at this point, anyone, I think, watching this movie would feel like, that anger and desire for vengeance that he feels right at that moment. And he has a gun. He can finally defend himself and right the wrong that happened at the beginning, where he was had his ass kicked and could do nothing about it. And then as a result, he was punished by having to replace the sign out of his own paycheck. So in this situation, he's like, he's just freshly had his ass kicked a few days ago, lost his job, off his medication. So he defends himself by shooting the first guy, and I believe the second guy. And then the third guy he chases down and murders in cold blood. And even that decision, I think a lot of people can sympathize with. It's really difficult when you are that amped up on adrenaline, that beaten down by your life circumstances, and that so freshly in the moment of being wronged by this person, that I think it would be difficult for anyone not to make that decision. But that's the beauty of this whole movie, the ambiguity of it.
So a couple more points. I mean, we find out more about this later, but his history of being severely abused as a child, being tied to a radiator, you know, watching his mom's boyfriends beat her up and beat him up and do nothing about it. So he has this whole history of being abused. And in this moment when he's in the subway, and also when he's talking to a psychiatrist earlier, he says that nobody sees him. He's invisible. Like, people act like he doesn't even exist, but people are starting to notice and he exists.
Yeah.
And so in this moment, it's like he's expressing what little agency he has through violence, but he is expressing some sort of agency. So as far as his personal transformation goes, to him, that is a positive step. He's taking a step in the positive direction. He's standing up for himself. He's actually doing something about his circumstances, even though it's very violent and catastrophic to people outside of him. But as far as his character development, that's a positive step. Does that make sense?
Yeah. There's another element of this that you could look at through the lens of the Jungian archetypes, specifically the warrior archetype. And we've covered this in a lot of depth in past episodes. So if you want to know more in depth about what the warrior is all about, go check it out. But there's basically, there's the warrior in his fullness, where he's acting properly. Then there's the warrior in his shadow. And there are two versions of the shadow. There's the active shadow and the passive shadow. And what's interesting about that is when you engage in the passive shadow, it creates a cycle where you eventually engage in the active shadow.
Because you repress it.
Yeah, because you're repressing and you're not defending yourself. You're not acting with discipline and with virtue, and you're not acting with a certain amount of aggression that would prevent your life from unraveling in front of you, like what happens with the Joker. So there's a specific scene where I think he really makes that failure. And it's when he is getting shit from his boss for losing the sign. And he could have stood up at that moment and said, look, you know, I had my ass kicked there. I didn't try and steal the sign. Why would I try and steal the sign? You know, he could have...
could have shown his bruises. We just see him like a second ago putting on his shirt, and his back is completely bruised.
Yeah, he could have insisted. He could have acted with a little bit more aggression, and instead he just, you know, shriveled up,
froze
in response. Yeah, freezing is another thing that you see as a theme throughout this movie. He freezes a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And there's another part of this when he starts feeling uncomfortable when he's in a really uncomfortable position, he starts laughing, and he's got that little card that he shows people that basically says, this is a disease. I'm not laughing at you. I just respond this way. It's a disease.
It's a neurological condition, usually as a result of brain damage.
Yeah. So there are a few circumstances where handing that card out a little quicker would have prevented a lot of problems, like in the bathroom with Bruce Wayne's dad, before he gets punched in the face, he could have handed that card over. There was the point in the subway too that actually he had attempted to do that, but he failed. So again, like, the ambiguity is just so perfect in this. It so provides the exact kind of circumstance where almost anyone would make the same decision as him.
And it's not like I wouldn't say that I would criticize him for freezing, because that is also a trauma response. You know, when he was abused as a child, that's probably how he learned how to act.
Yeah.
Freeze and stay quiet and maybe you won't get beaten up.
If this movie does have any message, I would say there is a message of life will often kick you when you're down and you cannot rely on safety nets.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a fair thing to say, really. A lot of people's experiences are without that safety net. When they hit rock bottom, they hit it hard. And the only thing you can do in that situation is try and get sovereignty and agency in what little areas of your life that you can.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't just like fully give up. And he doesn't fully give up either. But there, it's just to say that there is a point where you have to make decisions that are extremely difficult and you have to orient yourself towards good. And sometimes that's nearly impossible to do, but there's still the necessity of the intention of doing that. And so we can look at all of Joker's behaviors and decisions through that lens. Like, even though all of the circumstances are stacked against him, where did he fail to make the right decision? And I know it's hard. I've been in fights before where I've recognized my lack of restraint when I'm full of adrenaline and anger, and that position of just being, you know, freshly beat up and then suddenly having agency and power again and shooting those two guys. I mean, there's a fine line between self-defense at that point and then chasing that third guy down and shooting him in the back. And most people who have never experienced that type of like adrenaline or aggression with other people can think that you would be able to get control and stop yourself from making that decision, even considering all of Arthur's circumstances there. And I'd like to say that that's incredibly difficult. And once you've actually been in a situation where, you know, you've had your agency completely taken away from you, and then you suddenly find your power in that very moment and you can defend yourself, it's a fine line between defending yourself and becoming as aggressive as the Joker was there.
Mm-hmm. The theme that I found really interesting in the movie is that on one hand, there's character development. You know, he's coming into his fullness in a way because he's really beat up and repressed and kind of this like small, meek character at the beginning, even though he's good, you could say. He doesn't harm others. And then as he unfolds, he becomes more violent, more aggressive, more reckless, more nihilistic. But he is becoming a bigger person. Like, he is taking more, he has more agency. He doesn't let other people step over him as much. But it's just the way that it's expressing itself is very harmful to others. So for me, this was a really interesting dichotomy because it's like, well, which one is better?
Well, there's always the third option, right?
Yeah, like, yeah. It's the, I know. But the way that the movie presents it, there isn't a third option. The third option is read between the lines. It's like, okay, what's another scenario of the same thing? How it could have been different?
So how do you think he could have made a decision better? Obviously, we know he's going to become the Joker. There's no other option than to take the route that he did. But I mean, if we're looking at people watching this movie, and I know there's a lot of controversy about this movie because of what people perceive that it encourages, nihilism, violence, revenge, uprising against the, you know, upper class, this, all of this sort of thing. So let's look at this and pick it apart from a moral standpoint. Where did he go wrong and what could he have done differently?
Well, I think one thing that he could have done differently is learn how to process his emotions internally without allowing them to burst out externally. Because feeling that rage and feeling that anger, I think, is actually very healthy and necessary for healing and transformation.
Yeah.
We're not talking about repressing things or just, you know, forgive and forget. No, I don't think he should have done that. But I think
there's an appropriate time and level of aggression to release. You know, when you're in a situation more early on is the appropriate time to release that bit of aggression. And it doesn't necessarily have to be released at the person you're angry with. To a degree, it could have helped if he had have done that with a bit more of aggression with the guy that was firing him. He could have stood his ground a bit more. It probably would have resulted in the same outcome. But often this sort of thrust into the aggressive, active part of the warrior archetype, where you're sadistic and you're harmful to others, and you're pushing your will into other people's lives, often that is a result of too much passive warrior shadow, that repression, that meekness, that unwillingness to fight for yourself and for others appropriately. Yeah. And that's where this went wrong over and over and over again in this movie, where he had the opportunity to either, I don't want to say take the high road, but he could have made a slightly different decision, or resisted an urge for violence, or let that aggression out in a more productive way, more earlier down the emotional chain, and it could have resulted in a different thing.
Yeah, before it was at a point where it was just explosive.
Yeah.
You know, we talk about meditation practice, where you allow your negative emotions to come up and just allow yourself to feel them, to familiarize yourself with how they arise and how they feel in your body, and just processing them a little bit in a safe container, instead of just letting them build up until they explode on their own.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. There could have been a practice previous to all of these events that went down in his life where he could have processed what he was feeling and learned to deal with pressure and difficult situations before those situations ever manifested in his life. I mean, I know they started when he was a little child, but there's a period where things were just pretty shit, but not as shit as they got later on in the movie. Mm-hmm. That could have been an opportunity when things were at least somewhat together still, that to be able to meditate and work on his shadow aspects, kind of bring forth those difficult emotions and process them in a safe environment instead of letting them bubble up in high stakes situations.
Yeah. And I hear like a voice in my head of somebody criticizing the statement and saying, well, that's a position of privilege. You know, you think you can just sit and meditate and, you know, you have the time to do that or the knowledge how to do that. Not everybody has that. Yeah, it's true. But I think a lot of the time, even people who are in a very dire situation can figure out ways to process their emotions, even if they don't know how to meditate. You can go out and practice martial arts by yourself at night, you know, in like the courtyard of your building or whatever.
Punch a pillow,
you know, find a way to release those negative emotions without harming others.
Yeah.
The problem is that they went repressed for so long.
I think the problem is people don't know what proper emotional processing looks like. And they, a lot of people, I think men especially, get confused about what that looks like. You know, they think that dealing with grief or sadness, which is part of also that repression that then comes out in anger, they think dealing with that is just this perpetual self
wallowing.
Yes, exactly. Instead of realizing that actually that processing has an end point, it has a light at the end of that tunnel, and you finish processing, and then those things no longer weigh you down.
Yeah.
But kind of the typical man way to approach this is to just like compress until that, you know, those difficult emotions become a bomb.
Yeah. And I also recognize that there's this message in modern society where people should be good, should put a smile on their face, you know, like even his counselor is like, are you having any negative thoughts? And he says, all I have are negative thoughts. And so it's implied as if she is saying that the negative thoughts are bad. And
yeah.
Well, I mean, she's encouraging him to journal. So that's one way to vent your negative emotions, is to just spill it out on the page. But there is this message in society often that you have to be happy and that you have to be nice to people and you have to be good. But that it's not a thing that happens by default, you know?
Yeah.
And people do have negative emotions. It's normal to have negative emotions, especially when so many shitty things happen to you.
Yeah, life circumstances are sometimes just unavoidable. Like, there's nothing he could have done about so many of those circumstances, which is why the movie's so great, because anyone could find themselves in his position making all of the same decisions.
Yeah.
I mean, he has a tiny, tiny amount of agency in almost every single circumstance.
And that's the point. It's not a question of was he evil or was society oppressing him? It's not binary like that. It's both of those forces are acting at the same time. In every situation, there's him and there's the society interacting, and his past, obviously, and all of these different forces. But there's always a little bit of choice. There's always a few options that he can make in any given situation.
Yeah.
And it's like those cascading choices that lead to the outcome of his life. It's not one single switch where he just becomes evil all of a sudden.
Yeah. You know, there is the problem of people's perception of moral ambiguity is being like a left or right or a binary option. Like you can make one choice or you can make another, instead of realizing the multitude of choices. And in that circumstance, with many things going wrong and people feeling like they don't have agency, there is that choice that you can make precisely at that moment that may make very little difference in the outcome of the actual event you're in, but makes a huge difference going forward in the rest of your life. And that is, do I say fuck it and just go with the problem, or become nihilistic and let the circumstances just wash over me and then make me hateful and then make me want revenge and to engage in that active shadow warrior, you know, behavior where I'm wanting revenge, I'm wanting to be sadistic, all of that stuff. That's really I would categorize as this masculine fuck it behavior. Like, fuck it. I've just been shit on for ages now. And now I want revenge. Now I'm sick of it. Now I'm finally going to stand up for myself. And it feels right. It feels good on the inside. That's a big thing about this. And then the other option is that I just repress it. I don't process anything. I just stop. I don't react. I don't respond to this outside world. And I just put my head down and continue working, which is also a big problem. Mm-hmm. And most people don't think of it as repression because it's that cultural influence of behave. You better behave. So the third option, I would say, which is kind of a multitude of options, would be to channel that aggression into something else, something helpful, which is really difficult to find, but it exists. Like we've already brought up a bunch of things, like martial arts is one way. But also channeling it into focus of how to change your life for the better. So, you know, the first option I gave, the fuck it one, is really about fighting back, you know? And in some cases, that's okay, fighting against what you don't want. But in most cases, the right option is to just go, okay, my life sucks. All of these things are going wrong. What small amount of circumstances can I actually have control and agency over? And then what do I want my life to be like? Orient yourself towards that and then move towards that with as much power as you can muster in that tiny arena of agency. And just to move forward. And that's where that difference is made overall in your life. You still may fail. It still may feel terrible. But overall, that energy towards what you want to create in your life can compound. And eventually, maybe your life turns around. But that's so difficult to say in that moment. And it feels so good to just say, fuck it, and to want to get revenge.
Yeah. And I think they illustrated that absolutely perfectly in the movie. You can see how liberating it is for him, how good it feels. You know, that I love that scene where he's walking down the stairs, where he's kind of finally embracing the Joker personality. And he's got a suit and he's all dressed up going to appear on the TV show. And you see the light behind his head and he's lit up in a very kind of angelic way, and it's slow motion, and he's swinging his hair and he's dancing, and you just feel how free he is. And that liberated feeling actually is what you're going after. That is what happens when you process that anger, that rage, that, you know, all those negative emotions. It's just that the way that he vented them was not ideal because it harmed other people.
Yeah.
But he could have gotten that exact same feeling by other means, and he could have felt just as whole without harming others.
Yeah. Yeah, it goes back to that three option thing that I don't think I articulated quite well until you brought that up. It makes me think he channeled it. He chose to channel it into the circumstances and in a resistant way, in a harmful way, in a destructive way. When he had the option to repress it, which was the precondition of the aggression, or channel it. So like give that aggression an outlet, which most people don't realize is an option because of what society continues to tell us, don't release your aggression. Aggression, toxic masculinity has no place. And that's very clearly the path to this like hyper aggressive, active shadow of the warrior.
Yeah. And you're right that the third option is actually a multitude of options. It's not one thing, because in some cases, it's very difficult to find a productive outlet for that anger.
Yeah.
In some cases, the best option is to just let that aggression out into nothingness, you know, screaming into your pillow or like punching imaginary enemies in the parking lot at night, like in Fight Club. I guess he was punching himself in Fight Club. But, you know, there are ways to release that aggression. But I think it's really important not to allow it to just like ruminate. And we see this pattern happening over and over again with when they try to investigate these mass shootings or serial killers. There's always that aspect of letting it ruminate. For years and years, they're just stewing in it.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what causes the explosion after.
Yeah. And so, you know, society's saying that you've got to process your emotions differently, that you've got to let it out in nonviolent ways. But how do you let aggression and violence out in nonviolent ways? I mean, that's why humans invented sport.
Yes. Exactly.
You know, it was a playground to be able to get out those aggressive urges in a non-violent, non-harmful way, or at least in a consensually violent way.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, if we want to reflect and have final messages on this movie, I would say that this is what happens when society doesn't make space for those types of emotions to be processed properly. When society decides that there is no place for these emotions and that one must repress them and push them down and ignore them and just talk through them and you know, or medicate them.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Anything else that you would say?
I would say that there's actually still quite a bit of social commentary to be made, because a lot of the patterns in this movie of the things that are happening are actually happening in the real world right now. So even though the movie takes place in the past, all of those same patterns are playing out in a lot of cities in the United States, for example, mm-hmm. where there's this increasing feeling of pressure, like there's building pressure and resentment towards the authorities, towards the rich, towards the government, towards structures of society that are failing people. People feel like, you know, even Greta, you know, the way that she's expressing herself, it's that same frustration. You failed us. You've done nothing. Mm-hmm. And it's that same sort of feeling that's brewing.
This whole feeling, this societal manifestation of the individual expression of anger or feeling of anger, is part of the perpetuation of the whole cycle, right? In the movie, he gets into a feedback loop with society. Mm. You know, he becomes a symbol of fighting back against the power, and then people give him adoration and respect and start imitating his behavior. And he sees all of this unfolding in front of him, and he's not exactly sure how to deal with his actions, how to process them. But he gets so much feedback from the environment that those are the right choices. The choices he's made are right, justified. And so this feedback loop just cycles. And, you know, you can obviously see how it creates more of him. Actually, in most of the Batman stories, it is the Joker who murders Batman's parents. But in this one, it wasn't. It was the Joker that inspired others. So in society inspiring the Joker, Joker inspires society, which inspires other people. It's just this vicious feedback loop.
Yeah, and it's very, very dangerous where, people get that feedback that their antisocial destructive actions are somehow having an impact. And there's a question of what impact is it actually having when mass shootings are covered by the news?
Yeah, it's exactly the same thing. Yeah,
because whether even if the mass shooter is being described as a villain or being talked about in negative terms, they're still getting attention. They're still getting reinforcement for their actions. People are actually noticing them. And a lot of the time, if you understand where that is coming from, that feeling of nihilism and stewing in your rage for years, getting that kind of validation, like, yes, you're a villain. Yes, you're somebody, you matter, you made an impact, even if it was a horrible impact, that's exactly what they want.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so that just inspires more copycat shootings. And it's no wonder there's this pattern of mass shootings in the States now, because the media just feeds it.
So how do you feel about people's reaction to the Joker then? Do you feel like it's doing exactly that? I mean, there's a deeper message in here.
It's much deeper.
Yeah. But it's which is partially why we're having this conversation, is to parse through that and try and figure out where he went wrong and where the problems were. And because that clear-cut message, people are arriving at there being a clear-cut message in this movie, like an intention, and that the movie creators were very reckless and that the movie's dangerous and all of this. So how do we process this?
I think that the movie is much deeper than the newscasters simply talking about mass shootings, because the movie takes that first person perspective of what it's like to actually become this kind of person. And it allows for empathy.
Yeah.
And it also, it could potentially provide a vicarious relief for people who might be feeling that anger.
Yeah. People want this binary outcome of a lesson at the end or a warning or something. They don't want to get in touch with the emotions that would cause them to relate to the killer. And this is something really difficult to do, something people are very resistant to, but I think it's something that's very necessary if we're going to try and improve society to create conditions that prevent this type of thing from occurring. And in saying that, I'm saying having a little bit of empathy for these people before the situation happens.
Explodes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many points throughout the movie where if society had treated mental illness differently or treated funding of public programs differently, or, you know, weren't so economically strained, you know, the situation with the boss needing to fire him and all of that. It's like, if society treated so many things differently and had more empathy for the lower classes, we may have different circumstances. We may have different safety nets, or we may be able to prevent or see these things before they happen. So I think that's an interesting commentary. And it would all start with just having empathy. And any of us needing this story to draw a clear line in the sand of what's right and what's wrong are missing the point.
Yeah.
So I think that's going to be it for this episode. If you guys want to continue the discussion, please leave a comment down below, and we'll see you in the next episode.
Mm-hmm. To stay up to date with new episodes, subscribe to Future Thinkers on your favorite platform and leave us a review or a like. It really helps out the show. And don't forget to share this episode on social media.
Get our 50-page guide on adapting to the future. Sign up at futurethinkers.org/signup.
Upgrade your mental operating system, increase your personal sovereignty, and gain deeper self-knowledge with our courses in personal evolution. Register now at courses.futurethinkers.org.